Now, after months of controversy at Children's Health Ireland, the group is to be incorporated into the HSE. Children's Health Ireland has been under significant pressure after controversies involving orthopaedic and spinal surgeries and long waiting lists for children with scoliosis. It had been due to operate the new National Children's Hospital. CHI's integration into the HSE will take place by 2027. And we're joined now from our Limerick studio by the Chief Executive of the HSE, Bernard Gloucester. Good afternoon and welcome to the programme.
Good afternoon, Justin.
The decision to integrate Children's Health Ireland into the HSE was taken by the Minister for Health, Jennifer Carroll McNeill. When were you informed that that would be happening?
Well, I've certainly been aware that the Minister has for some months now been reflecting generally on governance structures across the health service, given the size of the country and the way healthcare is evolving. There's no secret, I think, in the public domain that CHI has been the subject of a lot of commentary over the past couple of months, linked to a lot of issues emerging in historical and perhaps some more recent reports. But also, there is the fact that the new children's hospital is imminent, that the three hospitals that previously made up paediatric care before CHI was established have now come together to a certain extent, and they will finally come together finally in that new hospital. So it was in all of those processes and issues that the Minister was considering for some time, and she certainly spoke to me several times about that.
Okay.
So it's a very much an iterative process, and one which I think the Minister, in fairness, discerned very, very carefully, and one which is made, despite what people think, is made for very good reasons and for very productive reasons for the future delivery of specialist healthcare to children.
And the decision does follow, as you say, months of controversies, mainly over orthopaedic surgeries at CHI, including hip surgeries and spinal surgeries. So is this a decision then which came about because trust in the CHI had been damaged beyond repair?
No, I don't believe that's the case. And while I can understand some commentators might form that view, there is no doubt the challenges at CHI were part of the Minister's contemplation. There's nobody seeking to depart from that. However, I think it's really important to remember, and I said this at an Oireachtas committee during the week, there are literally thousands of children who are patients of CHI in oncology, in cardiology, in neurology, in general medicine. They get an excellent service, a really high standard of service, very often ranked in the category of world class. That all crystallises into the new National Children's Hospital. That hospital needs to connect in a very full and integrated way with paediatric units across the country, and creating that type of hub and spoke specialist care at secondary and tertiary level. So that is one of the key driving forces. A system like that can be far better integrated and supported by being a direct part of the overall healthcare system, which in Ireland is the HSE. On the issue of the challenges over the last month, few months, and the trust issues, as you've indicated, there's no dispute accepting those. There's work going on to rebuild that trust, and there's still some work to do in that yet. And
okay,
I have a number of processes underway which are fundamentally aimed at rebuilding that trust.
Because the parents of children who've been affected by delays in getting spinal surgery, for example, at CHI for their children, they've talked about a lack of transparency. They've talked about poor communication with CHI. Is that going to change then when the HSE takes the reins?
I think it has already started to change, and I want to compliment the recently appointed CEO, Lucy Nugent, and some of the board members and board member changes that we've seen. So it's not waiting for the HSE or the full migration into the HSE for improvement to start to happen. Trust is a very hard thing to rebuild when it is broken and when it's fractured. I think on this programme and in many other places of public commentary, the Minister and I and others have all commented There have been things in CHI which were absolutely wholly unacceptable. There have been communication failings between CHI and parents, which quite frankly, you couldn't but be embarrassed by. And there have been lots of other challenges, but they are all acknowledged. They're out there. They are being dealt with. They will continue to be dealt with. And in the fullness of time, I believe that the trust that's required in the very sensitive area of spinal surgery for children will be rebuilt. And I think it'll be rebuilt robustly and for all to see. And the best way for us to do that is in partnership with parents and with advocacy groups and with others who can all contribute to that effort.
The integration of CHI into the HSE, that's not due to be completed until 2027. So who then is going to manage the transfer of the three children's hospitals and the staff from those into the new children's hospital? Who's going to ensure that, you know, that the right structures are in place at that hospital from day one? Will it be Children's Health Ireland, or will it be the HSE?
It will be both, and that's already the case even before the minister's decision. So several months ago, I announced the increase of two levels of oversight of CHI, firstly at an operational level weekly to my regional executive officer who looks after the CHI service arrangement, and that intensive oversight and support is going on. The second thing is I put in place a national clinical and operational group to oversee the implementation of all of the recommendations arising from the multitude of various reports and commentaries on CHI. Those processes continue, and I do have a national director who's called the lead director for the Children's Hospital, and he along with CHI and the Paediatric Hospital Development Board, all together are and will continue to be fully responsible. And I'll certainly be ensuring for the remaining months of my tenure that the closest level of input possible from the HSE to commissioning the new hospital is there to support CHI as it should be.
Okay. What's your latest information then on when National Children's Hospital will accept its first patients?
So just a little over a week ago now, I think the Paediatric Hospital Development Board, which represents the state essentially, received an updated programme from BAM, the principal contractor. They're scrutinising that, and we should have an update on that in a few days. However, my understanding is that we can be, I think, reasonably confident that CHI will have what's called early access sometime in the month of November. That means they can get a start on some of the tasks with commissioning. And then if BAM's programme of work delivers what it says it will deliver, there will be a substantial completion date. And then a couple of months after that, when CHI and the HSE finish the commissioning, we hopefully will see the beginning of the transfer of patients and staff to that hospital, which will be, despite all of its challenges, an absolutely world-class hospital children.
But I do understand there is a plan not to transfer patients during the autumn-winter period, isn't that right, because of potential for flu and so on. So
yes,
you have a window of the spring-summer of next year to get that done. Is it your expectation now that we will see the first patients in there by the spring or summer of next year?
It is absolutely my expectation that that would be the case. I believe everybody who's involved in the commissioning, purchasing or development of this hospital is pushing and insisting that that's the case. I am, however, and I'm conscious of the public level of scepticism around this. I am, however, conscious that ultimately what we call the substantial completion date for the building does rest with BAM. It's not an issue of money. It's not an issue of resources on our part.
Okay.
It is an issue of them giving us a compliant programme of work and sticking to that compliant programme.
All right. I want to ask you about another hospital, that is Portiuncula Hospital. You revealed this week that two further reviews will take place in relation to the care of infants at the maternity hospital in Portiuncula. One relates to a stillbirth, another relates to an infant who suffered loss of blood or oxygen to the brain. There are now 12 reviews underway, and from next week on, Portiuncula will no longer accept high-risk women who are expecting babies for booking. Is this the beginning of the end of maternity services at Portiuncula?
I don't believe that that's the case at all, and that certainly isn't the position of the HSE or the minister that's being advanced. Just to recap very briefly, and I did speak to you, I believe, last January or February about this, there have been a number of instances of particular types of outcomes. Some of those were cases of intrauterine death, two in particular, and then several cases of hypoxic ischemic encephalopathy. And in those cases, there's an expected rate per thousand of births. The rate of those outcomes at Port Jungla is outside of the normal range, remembering that obstetrics is probably the most risk-based specialty that you will find in healthcare. And because of that, and because of the backdrop of previous improvement programmes that appear now to have come up short, the decision had to be taken. Women with high BMI, women of an older age, women with an obstetric history of neonatal death or stillbirth, women with a history of significant medical illness or pre-existing diabetes in pregnancy, and in the case of twins, they will be booked to other centres, Galway and other centres. That will be done in very careful clinical engagement with the women and their partners. And the only motivation here is not about ending anything. It is not about closing anything. It is about the simple fact of the matter that I was in no position other than to recommend to the Minister and the Department of Health that this particular group of women had to be rebooked and transferred to other services because okay. I couldn't assure their safety.
All right. We're just over a week away from Budget Day. Last year, the HSE received €26.9 billion to run the health service. Do you expect that there will be a budget overrun now this year?
There will be a supplementary required in the health service this year. So if we can just maybe talk to the budget just in two...
Sorry, how much will that be?
I think it'll probably be in the order of about €250 million, which is substantially less than it was in any previous years. And I think that shows the progress of the decisions that were made by government last year and the work the HSE has undertaken to date in either reducing costs or cost avoidance to the equivalent of about €600 million. We have, as I've said to you before, for the first full year, and I believe the basis is there for every year now, we have balanced the pay budget. There are factors within the pay budget we still have to deal with, but we have balanced it, and I believe that has given enormous confidence to both Minister Chambers and Minister O'Donoghue. The £250 million issue that I've talked about is essentially associated with the non-pay side. But the budget for next year, I'm very confident that a strong budget position will develop when Minister Carl McNeill meets with Minister Chambers again in the coming week. And it is a budget that essentially will be made up of three parts. One is existing level of service. Two are some critical developments that we need to keep going. So, for example, we'll open five new surgical hubs next year. And the third part, which won't be a money part, but which can easily be quantified in value, is the amount of productivity we can still improve on to give the best value for money for the taxpayer for what we are in receipt of. We're in a much stronger position in health than we were in previous years, and I think that will continue, and I don't have any concerns other than a realistic and appropriate budget position will emerge. In respect of our separate line of disability, which is a separate line department, that is somewhat more challenged, and I'm awaiting some further discussions this week before I'd be able to comment on that.
All right, before I let you go, I just want to ask you about the winter ahead then. It is a time we usually see overcrowding at emergency departments in the country's hospital. This year, you have more consultants signed up for the 7-day roster. Does that mean then that we're not going to see the same level of overcrowding this winter as we've seen in previous years?
Well, just to simply say it, I don't want to bombard people with figures, but year to date, up to the end of August, we're down 7% on trolleys despite increased demand. That might appear very small to people at 21 trolleys a day, but it's against the backdrop now of three successive years. August, we did deteriorate, unfortunately, and I'm the first to admit that. I think we've arrested that again. I had a national emergency care call this morning, and only five of our sites are in what we would call red. out of 29. So I think substantial improvements are being made. The flu has not yet come. I believe the evidence from the Southern Hemisphere is it will come early and it will come hard. And if I could use the benefit of this programme to say to people, if you're in the category of target for flu vaccine, please get it. Please, please get it. If you're sceptical or need information, please get that from good sources. But don't listen to sources that are simply anti-vax and anything like it. You need the flu vaccine if you're in certain categories. And young children who were born after the 1st of March need the RSV immunisation. And COVID is still with us. This morning I had several beds closed in hospitals because of COVID. And again, the COVID vaccination programme continues. And we really need people to help us to protect them.
But you are expecting a difficult winter then, are you?
Absolutely, and I'll be here with the wonderful team that I lead every day of it, including Christmas Day, and we will do our best to manage the system safely. But of course, yes, I do expect pressure.
All right, Bernard Gloster, HSE Chief Executive, thank you very much for speaking with us on the programme today.